And so, Father, we thank you for your forgiveness in our lives, Jesus. We thank you that we stand washed in the blood, forgiven of all my sin. What I did, what I will do, what I do today, tomorrow, I'm already forgiven, Lord. It's already done. So, Father, I pray that you would help us today to get a revelation of not only what you've done, but what we do as we forgive one another through Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit this morning eventually about forgiving and forgetting. Do we, when we come into forgiveness, do we really need to forgive and forget? And then how do we do that? How do we, first of all, how do we forgive? We talked a little bit, but I'll go in some detail about it today. And then do we forget? Because Jesus says he forgets our sin, remembers them no more. And we're not God, but we are to be Christ-like. Amen? So there's the incredible freedom in that. And remember, we talked about it being a weapon that God has given to us, that it's not just, sometimes we think it's just something weak and we'll just, it doesn't really matter, but it really is a weapon that God has given to us. We know that our hurts and wounds really can affect us for the rest of our lives. And that's why when you are involved in any kind of counseling, usually they'll talk about your childhood a little bit. And it's not like, you know, okay, I talked to someone, 20 years ago who said, why do I need to go to counseling, you know? I'm just over all that. And I'm like, no, your life shows that you're not over all that. There's some hooks there that the enemy has in you. And sometimes it takes, I always say, if you've got cancer, you don't go to an eye specialist. You know, so sometimes the pastor doesn't have the skill or the anointing to walk you through things like that. And so we'll send you to someone who does, a counselor. And so that's a good thing. So our hurts and our wounds can affect us for the rest of our lives if we don't deal with them in a godly way. And I think we all know that every day we have opportunity to forgive, don't we? Every day something little happens, something pokes at us, and we need to just, someone cut me off the other day. I guess I was listening to my CDs, driving too slow, and they whipped around before me. And I don't know about you, but something rises up within me when we meet at the same stoplight. And you just kind of look over at them and say, okay, you know, hello, you know. But then I have to repent for that as well, you know. So God is relentless in his pursuit for us. He doesn't just get us saved and then that's all there is to us. He's our Father. And so he fathers us. He walks us through all these things and he doesn't just leave us the way we were. He is always working, dealing on attitudes and things. So if you would turn in your scriptures to 2 Timothy chapter 3. When we were in prayer this week in the prayer room, the Holy Spirit just dropped this verse into my life. And I thought, Lord, what are you dropping that in there for? And I read it. And then I realized, I see why that's there. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. Everybody got it? Bible's on your table. You know, if you look at something, not just hear it, you'll remember it a lot more. So, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, here we go, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. So I bring your attention to this verse because I want you to see that in the midst of all those attitudes that are we can look at and see are so damning, right? Then tucked right in the middle there is unforgiveness. And when the term perilous times, the word perilous means difficult, but it also means fierce and violent. And so in the midst of our unforgiving, there's a fierceness, there's a violence that the enemy tries to place within us. So it's not just, well, it doesn't matter whether I forgive or don't forgive. It matters. Forgiving, say it, forgiving matters. Say it out loud. Forgiving matters. And so in the last days, perilous times will come. And so I kind of link it to Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. That's Old Testament. That's without the Holy Spirit. The direction is still the same. You rule over the sin in your life, Genesis 4, 7. And that Greek word, Hebrew word there for sin lies at the door. It's the picture of a crouching lion. If you've ever seen one of those films or the Geographic thing and you see lions and how they stalk their prey and they crouch, and then they spring on something, don't they? And so most of the time, the animal that's being hunted is unsuspecting, and it's been there, but it just springs on it. And that's what the word talks about, sin, and I relate that to the sin of unforgiveness. We must realize that it's a sin. And I don't think there's one person in this room that would willingly sin, that would say, well, I don't really care. I'm going to go out and do this anyway. I know it's sin, but I'm going to do it anyway. I do not think there's one of you that would do this. And so we need to recognize that unforgiveness is a sin, and it lies at the door, crouching, waiting to spring on this. And so when it comes to unforgiveness, it's subtle, it's covert, it's sometimes unrecognizable. And I think there are two reasons for that. One, because we get into pride. We get into thinking, well, you did it to me, so what difference does it make? I'll just do it right back to you, or I'm not going to forgive. There's pride attached with that. And secondly, it becomes a place of stronghold. And so either way, we can defend unforgiveness, can't we? We almost think that we have a right. And I want to tell you that if you've received Christ as your Savior, you don't have any rights. You gave your rights to Jesus when you became a Christian. And so we say things like, I have a right, I'll never forgive. This week I heard that from two people that said to me, I will never forgive. They made that declaration. They said, too much has happened. The one person listed stuff the other person had done and said, I won't ever forgive them. I won't ever forgive them. And so we don't realize that unforgiveness is fierce and dangerous and damaging to our life. And so I touched briefly on the three ways to forgive, and I'll go into them a little bit more in detail. Number one, just like tithing, it's a choice. We decide to forgive. As an act of our will, we say, I forgive. We can go back even. Sometimes people say, well, what does it matter? Yeah, I've got unforgiveness towards my dad, but he's dead. We still make that declaration and say, I forgive. Lord, I forgive them. That's where it begins. Don't think about emotion. You can say it while you're crying, say it while you're mad, but it's got to come out of your mouth because it's a weapon, and Satan can't read our mind. Y'all remember that, right? He doesn't read our minds. He plants thoughts, but he can't read your mind. And so we decide. You will never forgive if you wait until you feel like it. It will not happen. And so we choose in other things to obey God and watch him perform what he's spoken over his word. Amen. There are times I'm sure all of us in this room have thought, I really can't afford to tithe, but I can't afford not to. And so we make that choice of obedience, and we watch God give people new cars. We watch God give people new trucks. We watch God do things because he's bound by his word. This is his will. He can't do anything outside of what his will says. He's not just a man. He's not just a politician who says, I'm going to do that. And when he gets in office, in your heart, he says, well, I didn't really mean it. I just want you to go to heaven. No, he watches over his word to perform it. And I want to tell you, there's a verse in, I believe it's Psalm 103, that talks about the angels being sent to perform his word. The angels can't perform his word until you and I speak that word. And then they come alongside and they watch over what we speak. And so again, time number 9091, your words are important. You live and die by what you speak, by what comes out of your mouth. And some of us are dying because unforgiveness is continually coming out of our mouth. Criticism for another person, the way they did things, what they did to us. It doesn't mean those things are right, what they've done. But it does mean I'm going to forgive because I want the gift and we give them a gift as well. And so decide to forgive, and then we resist the devil on every side in his attempts to poison us with bitter thoughts, because once unforgiveness gets in, a root of bitterness can begin to grow. And so we make a decision to forgive, and then we allow God to heal emotions that might be attached to that forgiveness. Matthew 6, 12 to 14, most of us know it. Some of you probably recite it regularly. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Do you see how it's connected to forgiveness and forgiving? Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And then the last verse, verse 14, which we sometimes forget. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Listen, there's a lot attached to this forgiveness and unforgiveness thing. So secondly, first we what? D letter. Decide. We decide. Okay, say it together. We decide. Secondly, we depend. We can't forgive in our own strength. I don't believe it's possible. I believe it's an act of the Holy Spirit, and I think it's supernatural. Because if we're willing, then God will enable us. So much is dependent on our willingness, isn't it? Then God enables us. And so in order for that to happen, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Humble ourselves, because what does God do? He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so we humble ourselves. In John chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, the word says that Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." And then the next instruction that he gave them was about forgiving people. You can read that in John 20, verse 22 and 23. And so we need to ask the Holy Spirit. As we depend on him, we ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on us so that we can forgive those who hurt you. So what's number one? D letter. Number two? Depend. You got it. Yes. All right. So we depend. And number three, we obey. Sorry, it's not a D word. We obey the word, because the word talks about a lot of stuff that we're supposed to do when it comes to forgiving. And there are ways that you know whether you've forgiven someone, don't you? You really kind of know that when you see that person, does something kind of go, you know, a little, something's just a little off, you know? And God is, he's an extravagant God. And he expects us to be extravagant with our forgiveness as well. So listen to what he says. Pray for your enemies. And those who abuse and misuse you, pray for their happiness and their welfare. Remember, we talked last week about not having malice in our heart toward someone. And so it's sometimes very, very, very surface and superficial to say, yeah, I forgive them. But if I'm in your life and I have a relationship with you and you say, oh, yeah, I forgive them. And then the next minute, you're not acting like you forgive them. We know that we haven't forgiven to the depth. We're still in first step one, which, what's step one?
Decide.
And Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28 talks about that. And as we pray, then God can give them a revelation and bring them out of the deception that they may be in as well, and also us, because sometimes we are under, when unforgiveness goes to a stronghold, we can be under an area of total deception. We deceive ourselves. And we say to ourselves, I've forgiven. But we don't really pray for our enemies and bless them and want them. And I don't know about you, if you've ever, if there's, how do I put this without naming names? So Linda has done something to me and to Pastor Ace. It's hypothetical. That's why I chose you, because it didn't happen. Well, it hasn't happened with any of you, actually, so I know she can take it. So she's offended Pastor Ace and myself. Now, truly, because of Pastor Ace's personality, but also because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, he's totally forgiven. He meets her and greets her and hugs her and loves her. And I, how you doing? Shake her hand. I have a superficial conversation with her. That lets me know I haven't forgiven to the depth that, that I need to. That lets me know that something's not quite right. It doesn't mean, here we go again, doesn't mean that I don't set up boundaries. If you offended me because I took you out to dinner, you said you'd pay, and when you got there, you said you forgot your wallet and I had to pay for this $300 meal. I'm not sure where I went to eat, but anyway. And so I'm offended by that because she invited me, she told me she'd pay, et cetera, et cetera. And so I need to specifically, I think sometimes we need to name what we are forgiving a person for, you know? And so then that offense can be rooted out of our lives and begin to pray for happiness and the welfare of the person. Then the word says in Romans 12:14, bless, don't curse, bless. You know what James says, blessing and curse comes out of your mouth, both things. And these things ought not to be so. And so we need to maybe find out what the word talks about, what really is a curse. And so to bless means to speak well of someone. And so we don't gossip about them. I don't tell somebody else what she took me out for dinner, $300, and made me pay, but I forgive her. No, I haven't forgiven to the depth that I need to forgive. I'm still only at step one. I've still made a decision, but I need to go further in that area of forgiving. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes we need to have an action that counteracts, because you see, it's my flesh. My flesh is offended. And so I need to crucify my flesh. And so the ways, well, if any of you are involved in exercise, well, looking around, I'm not sure. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You're offended? Oh, Brad, please forgive me.
Question.
Uh-oh. Good question. Sometimes, because she might not even know that I'm offended. And so then I'm going to bring offense on her. I think I talked about that in the first message. That someone came to me and said, you know, I have been holding unforgiveness towards you. And I'm like, what? I'm a good person. What are you doing? And he didn't even tell me what it was. And so I, Lord, what have I done? Because I was young in the Lord, I didn't know just to let it go and just to say, okay, I receive your forgiveness. So sometimes, in some of these things, we really need to be led of the Holy Spirit. And we need to really say, Lord, do I need to go? Do I need to take her out for dinner now? And say, oh, I just want to bless you. So let's you and I go out to dinner together. Okay, Pastor Ace can't come because he's already forgiven you, but I need to... No, see, you don't go there. Sometimes it's too much information. And really, there's a form of pride in that. I'm so wonderful, I forgive you for not paying for dinner. And really, I'm patting myself on the back. I'm not, because what I want to do is give her a free gift and I want to set myself free, right? And so it's the Holy Spirit that we allow the Holy Spirit to say, okay, because the Spirit of God has sometimes said to me, you need to send her some flowers because she offended you, so you need to send flowers. I'm kidding, so don't expect flowers this week. Right? But sometimes, what that does is it just it kind of sticks it in the other person, doesn't it? Because they're annoyed with you as well. And it sticks it in them. And there is a scripture that says, talk about coals of fire heaped on their head. But that can't be our response to it. It can't be our motive behind it. Does that help you? Okay. Robert. Absolutely, because I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for me. This is all about me, okay? And my relationship with God that has now been plugged up. It's like a vein that's got some, what is that stuff that plugs our veins? Cholesterol or whatever. What is it? Yeah, Brad, tell us. What is it?
Please forgive me.
And so we practice forgiveness, don't we? And so, okay, so I go to that person and I say, you know, again, I put it on me. I'm the bad person. You're not the bad person for not paying for dinner. My brain says it is, but my mouth is going to say, I've had something in my heart towards you and I've had unforgiveness and I really want you to forgive me. I ask your forgiveness for what I've held against you. And then we leave it there. And we say, don't say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, in this is just my opinion, is kind of a worldly term. When we go to forgiveness, we're going for the jugular vein of the enemy, right? And try to get that person. I've had someone say to me, no, I won't forgive you. And I specifically ask two people, what the heck? As I think of it now, two people I've sat at a negotiating table and said, if I've offended you, I wrote an email. Yeah, welcome to technology. I wrote an email and said, apparently I offended you. I apologize. Will you please forgive me? Not a sound. The meeting went on. I looked at that woman again and said, will you please forgive me? No comment. That has happened twice in my life. Will you please forgive me? You know, because my heart is not to offend or to hurt people. You read the email wrong. I didn't go into all that because you're offended. So I apologize and I repent that you are offended. So it's not about my fault. It's not about my fault. It's about now I've got unforgiveness. My sin is not the fault because that woman did read that email wrong. The other person was wrong. I was protecting her son, and she felt that I did wrong. So I wasn't wrong. My what was wrong was how she perceived it. But it's still, the onus is back on me. Right? You comprendo? Okay. Capiche? Okay. Okay, so we bless and not curse. And when we repeat the offense over and over again in the area of gossip. We repeat the offense. All it does is reinforce the offense. Reinforce it. Reinforce it. And so, in the words of Frozen, we let it go. We let it go. God, I forgive and I release them. Amen? Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers an offense seeks love. Amen? And so who do we forgive? We forgive the person who badly hurt us a long time ago. We forgive the person who cut us off in the whatever, from the biggest to the smallest, we forgive. And if we walk in forgiveness, if like I said, that person cuts me off and right away I say, I forgive. If my kids do something, right away I forgive, right away. It creates a groove in my mind and in my brain that eventually that's going to be my first reaction, even in the big stuff that hurts so bad. And I am not making small some of the hurts that have gone on in Christianity and in the name of Christ. I'm not making small of that. But we need to remember that forgiveness is a tool and a weapon that Jesus Christ has given to us to defeat the enemy, especially in this area. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. And so forgive means to excuse a fault, to absolve from payment. You don't have to take me out to lunch and buy me a $300 lunch because I forgive you. I'm not waiting for you to pay that back. Right? It means to pardon, to send away, to cancel, and to bestow unconditional favor upon heaven. Listen to Deuteronomy. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life that both you and your descendants can live. I know, and we know historically, I have a blank page. I guess I'm done. We both know historically, you know, the whole thing that went on in Ireland for so long between the Catholics and the Protestants, and the offenses went from to 3-4 generations later. I don't even know who offended my grandma, but you have the same last name. I don't know what the offense was. And so it just goes on and on and on and becomes a stronghold. And so that's another reason why we forgive. Now, sometimes, okay, let's go back to this scenario with Pastor Ace and myself and Linda. So now that I watch Pastor Ace walk in the room and give her a hug and love her and, you know, let's go out to lunch, blah, 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 well, like, I am really ticked about that because she offended both of us. And so I'm really mad at you. You need to stick up for me. And, you know, so we think that. We think that way. We get mad at the person, really, that's more spiritual than we are. We get mad about that because how can you forgive instead of just drawing back and saying, that's pretty awesome that you can forgive that. I'm still working on it. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm working through that. I'm working through that. Again, because some of those wounds go deep and they are very, very hurtful. And so as an act of obedience, what do? We decide, we depend, and we obey. All right, good. But can I forget? See, sometimes we say, well, I buried the hatchet, but I left the handle sticking out. Or I'll forgive, but I won't forget. That's because in our flesh, we want to set up boundaries and say, you're not going to hurt me again. And that's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be to say, nobody's going to hurt me again. It's very dangerous because when I set up walls against you, I set up a wall against God. And His Holy Spirit cannot penetrate. It's not to say I can't set up boundaries. I will set up a boundary. And I, you know, you've hurt me. So I'm going to set up that boundary, but I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to bless you. And these are things that we can't do by ourselves. Amen? It's a supernatural act of God.
When somebody continues.
That's right.
And do something.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, that you don't have, this is wonderful, but you don't have a lot of people say, well, what do you do with them?
Yeah.
Do you push them away?
Right.
Do you keep them from you?
Right.
Not in your heart, but physically, do you keep them away?
Right.
Do you put up boundaries?
Okay. Again, I'm not a counselor, but here's my opinion on it.
Did you know that at the end of 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 4, it says to avoid those people?
That's right. It does.
You didn't read it out loud, but in my Bible, that's what it
says. Yes.
At the end, when it listed off all those types of people, yep. It says to avoid them.
That's right. And so there is a time. It's my personal opinion is that I think God gives us free choice. And so if you continually hurt me and I continually forgive you and there's no change on your part, then I back away from that relationship. Because I'm not helping, right? And I'm still going to bless. I might still pray for that person, or that person might be totally gone out of my life, which has happened to me. You know, like, I'm living these things. I'm not just speaking, this is what the Bible says, and I haven't tried it, and it's not true. I've lived these things. And so there was a person in my life when I just kept loving, and they just kept wounding, kept hurting. They never listened to any of my advice. They just kept doing what they wanted to do. And the Lord brought in someone else from totally outside, came into my life and took a week of this and said, why are you letting her do that to you? Like, why? What's going on? And it was like, really? And she didn't give me any other advice or anything. It was just like a wake-up call, like, wow, why am I putting up with this? Because there was no learning going on between us. It was just all, I was just a dumping ground.
That's good. No.
Pardon?
There's no learning. That is good.
Yeah.
That's
right. That's right. Yeah. And thank you. That's what Timothy says. Avoid those. But we don't avoid with, nah, I'm never going to speak with you again. It's our attitude that God is after, and that's important. And so the attitude is, you've hurt me. I don't see that our relationship is healthy, and it's really wounding me. So what can I do, what you do, and what I do might be two different things. Your boundaries might be different than my boundaries, right? And what you give to that person, I talked about, you know, maybe sending flowers or taking out for dinner or whatever, that might be totally different to you. Those are up to me and how the Holy Spirit deals with my life. Are you good?
Yeah.
Capiche?
Capiche.
Robert. Right.
I have not seen this person since this incident. Do I approach them and say that I forgive them as a statement?
Do you forgive them?
I'm sitting at the crossroads right now of forgiving and not forgiving.
But you can't do that. I've taken that right away from you.
I understand that. That's where I was at a point.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. What I do in a case like that is say, Lord, if it's important that I speak to them and say and tell them I forgive them, then you bring them across my pathway. You set up a meeting, Lord. You set up a meeting between us. Otherwise, Lord, I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to leave it. But you can't stay at a crossroad of forgiving and non-forgiving. It's dangerous. Really, really dangerous, because it's a hook that it's not just my flesh. It's a hook the devil gets in us. And none of us in this room would willingly walk into something that we knew. This is Satan. I don't care. No, none of us would do that. If we do that, you've been at the crossroad and gone the other way. Because your heart becomes hardened. And that's the thing about unforgiveness. It never affects one person. It will affect all of your life. That's why over and over Jesus says, forgive, forgive, forgive. Unconditionally forgive. I cannot hold that inside. And any of us who have any dealings with people, we have opportunity to forgive. Because people will wound us. Whether they want to or not, it just happens. And then, okay, let's go. If there are any other, this is great. Any other comments, questions? Okay, we're good. So let's move on. Can I forgive and forget? So we have to think according to what the Word of God says. Remember, we're Christians. What are we?
Christians.
We're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I follow. That's what I follow. And that needs to be what our basis is. And so we want to become like him. That's the goal. And so I've been reading some things about the power of our mind. I have just obtained, which is why I won't buy a car that doesn't have a CD player, some great CDs called... Pardon? Switch On Your Brain. It's called that. It's by Carolyn Leaf. Fantastic. She's a neurosurgeon, born-again, spirit-filled Christian. I started reading the book on my iPad and thought, well, I'm just going to buy the tapes as well, or the CDs as well. Yeah, they weren't offering cassettes. Never mind, that's your Easter present. You better find a cassette player. And so and she talks about the incredibleness of our brains and our minds. Oh, man, it is. I just want to leap out of the car and run around it a few times. It's so amazing how God has built us, and what we think about is so vitally important. She does talk a little bit about forgiveness and unforgiveness. I also read this by Dr. Rademacher called You and Your Thoughts, The Power of Thinking. As we store, because it's not just thinking good thoughts, okay? Be careful of that. That's kind of new agey. It is new age. We think happy thoughts, we think good thoughts, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's only going to get you so far. The word is what's going to change us. Change our whole brain patterns. The word can do that. That's why we can stand and we can say, you need to forgive. Because God, no, I can't do it by myself. But once I get into the word, once I do what God tells me to do, my brain pattern can begin to change. And we can forgive and we can forget. Not forget like, oh, geez, I don't even, who are you anyway? I've forgiven and forgotten. No, it's we're not talking about that. It's like the sting of it is gone. I remember the incident, but the sting of it is gone. That's where forgiving and forgetting comes in. This guy says this, Dr. Rademacher, as we store the word of God into the computer of our mind and allow it to go to work on our innermost being, we become more and more like Christ. And so if we think of our brains, our minds, which are two different things, in the area of, okay, we think of it as a computer. If I get a virus in my computer, it can affect everything. It doesn't only affect the one program that it leaked into, but it can destroy your whole, it can destroy, I mean, we've got computers over there that are connected to a larger server, right? So it can not only affect my computer, but yours and yours and yours and the actual server itself. And so if we think of our brains like a computer, forgiveness through the word of God is the antivirus that God can place within us that can reformulate our brains, our minds, the way we think and the way we act. So listen, just listen to this. The human mind is a fabulous computer. As a matter of fact, no one has been able to design a computer as intricate and efficient as the human mind. Your brain, say my brain. Your brain is capable of recording 800 memories per second. 800 memories per second for 75 years. You got 6 more months, Ace Clark. Without ever getting tired. Did you say that out loud?
I did not say that.
Your brain.
I forgive you.
Oh, thank you. 800 memories per second. I've heard some person complain that their brain is too tired to get involved in a program of scripture memorization, and I have news for them. The body can get tired, but the brain never does. A human being doesn't use more than 2% of our brain power, scientists tell us. And of course, some demonstrate this fact more obviously than others. The point is the brain is capable of an incredible amount of work and retains everything it takes in. You never really forget anything. You just don't recall it. Everything is on permanent file in your brain. Again, from Dr. Rademacher, you and your thoughts. He's a neurosurgeon, a medical doctor. Yeah. So what do we mean when we say forgive and forget? The fact that our brain is so amazing and remembers so much, how do I forget? I think unforgiveness is replaced with love. 1 Corinthians says, the love which I speak of is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It's not possessive. It's not anxious to impress. It doesn't cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love is good manners, etc., etc. It doesn't keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it shares the joy of those who live by the truth. 1 Corinthians 13. And so as believers, we don't harbor unforgiveness. We replace it with love. To forget means to lose the remembrance of, to treat with inattention or disregard, to disregard intentionally, to overlook or to cease remembering or noticing. One of the first verses that we talked about here was Ephesians 4. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ, God forgave you. So we forgive one another because that's what the word says. Bear with one another, Colossians 3:13, and forgive any complaint you may have. If you have a computer, you go on and you type in a Bible search, the word forgive, you will see it come up so many times. It's a theme through Scripture. Forgive, forgive, as the Lord forgives you. And so forgetting means refusing to keep score. Again, we are mindful of boundaries, right? I know people that haven't set boundaries, and so they just keep getting hurt and hurt and hurt over and over again. And so we set boundaries. We become bigger than the offense, and we don't harbor judgmental attitudes. We're going to have to be humble if we are going to walk in forgiveness. Every day we have opportunity to forgive. If you are in a family, kids, older people, parents, grandparents, you have opportunity to forgive. Say it out loud. Whisper it out loud. If the person is there and just offended you, turn your back and say, Lord, I forgive. Just say it. And then and remember the decide. We decide to forgive. So we're going to have to be humble. We've all been hurt. We've all been offended. And we've all offended. We've been on all sides. We're the hurt-er and we're the hurt-e. Right? On all sides. And so humility says, I'm not perfect. Humility says, and I'm not always right. I just might be wrong. And so secondly, first we have to be humble, and then we have to be vulnerable. Oh, nobody wants to be vulnerable. We don't want to let some walls down and let hurt in again. We don't want to do that. And this is not, again, about those boundaries. But if I put up a wall and I say, you're not going to hurt me again, I can put up a boundary and say, I'm not going to let that hurt in again. But I can't put up a wall. Are you understanding the difference? There's a difference between putting up a wall and putting a boundary. If I put up a wall, I totally reject that person from my life. I don't want to see them. I've got this thing inside of me. It's not like, I love you, but you can't do this anymore to me. That's setting a boundary. A wall says, you know what? You will never hurt me again. That is not going to happen. It's all about our attitude. And so when we set up a wall, we keep God out as well as we keep each other out. And hurts, they're just part of life. They're just part of, because we're just human. And we hurt people unintentionally, most of us. It's what we do with the hurts that keep us bound or keep us free. And we make a choice. What do you want? You know, you say at the end of watching sports teams, sometimes the people will say that the other team, they just didn't want it bad enough. And I think we've all seen that. They just kind of slowed down at the last, and it was like they just couldn't go for it. They just didn't want it bad enough. You and I have to want this Christian life bad enough. We have to want it bad enough. We have to want to be Christ-like. Otherwise, we're just going to remain the same. Oh, we'll get to heaven. We've received Christ. Maybe we'll get to heaven. We'll get to heaven. But I don't want just that. I want to live a life of a successful Christian person. That's what we want. Amen? And so it's what we do with those hurts. Whether they cause us depression or discouragement, whether if I forgive or and don't forgive, the choice is happy or angry. Because hurt, offended people are angry people. They're angry people with their hearts hardened. I can remember working in the office over there, and I was dealing with someone who was on staff, actually, a long, long time ago. And I can remember just thinking it got to the point where I don't even want to go into the office anymore. Because that person would see me in the hall, she'd say, hello, everybody else, how you doing? When it came to me, head down, walk right past. And so I had to deal with that. And I was new in pastoring. And new or old, sometimes some things I just don't know how to deal with, you know. And I didn't deal right with it. Number one, I left it way too long. I should have said, excuse me, I just said hello to you. How come you didn't say hello back? But I didn't. I went into this little shell, you know, that, oh my gosh, they hate me. Because there was such rejection on that person. You know, a person walks in rejection. Do you know how? You want to reject them. I don't even want to be around that person. That's because they carry a spirit of rejection. I'm getting off way into another subject here, but anyway. And so being vulnerable means being willing to share my need. Because it shows I'm weak. I have a need. Will you pray for me? I have a need, right? And so we vulnerable. It means that I admit my failures and my limitations. And sometimes those of us in leadership positions have a hard time admitting our failures. I remember one pastor finally saying, you know, in his group of leaders, men's ministry he had in his group of leaders, he said, you know, I've come to the place where, you know, like I talking one-on-one now, I feel like I need to go and admit my failures to the rest of the men in my congregation. And the guy laughed and said, well, they won't be surprised, you know. And isn't that the truth? You know my weaknesses. You know my shortcomings, my failures. You all know that, you know. But if I was to hide behind, you know, this ego thing, this pride, like I don't have any failures, God can't bless that because his grace is for weak areas. And when we admit our weakness, we get his grace. And so we need to have a teachable spirit. And I think being vulnerable means that I have a teachable spirit. It doesn't mean anytime somebody talks to me and says, okay, here's what I think you should do. Yes, I know that. Yes, I know that. Yes, I know that. Well, if you know that, then why aren't you doing it? You know? And so we need to put down our pride. We need to give ourselves a gift. You don't always have to be right. You have nothing to prove. And as believers, the principle of the cross operates in our lives. So if you want to read a great story about someone who forgave and forgot, Joseph, Old Testament. Just had the outward presence of the Holy Spirit. No living inside, no, not that kind of extreme power. We have extreme power in our lives because of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And when Jesus hung on the cross, beaten, rejected, what did he say? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. And so being vulnerable is part of being a person who forgives and forgets. Joseph, rejected, hated, sold by his family, sold to a common slave market, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. The list goes on and on. Forgotten in a dungeon, thought to be dead by his own father. So how do you forgive all of that, Joseph? How did you do it? And so I think he had more going on in his life than most of us will ever, ever face. And so he made a choice. He made a decision not to remember the offenses. When he was released from prison, he was brought into power. He married, and the name of his first son was Manasseh, which means God has made me forget. So you see, even then, he needed the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit working in his life. What awesome freedom to be able to forgive all that. And so we allow God to do it in our lives. He fills the void. He takes the pain away because, yeah, it's painful. Those of you who are in relationship and are married, you have so many more opportunities to forgive than a single person probably would, because there's always that rubbing going down. Always. Small things. Taking the garbage out is your job. So why do I always have to remind you about that? What is wrong with you that you can't remember? No, Father, I forgive. Hun, don't forget to take the garbage out. I forgive. I release that. And you might think it's dumb and it's stupid and, oh my gosh, get a grip, Pastor Joy. That's so silly. No, it creates this groove in me that says everything that happens now, my first, not my second response, my first response. And we all know how important a first response is. Just have a heart attack and you know how important first response is. My first response is, no, you're not going to get your hook in me, Satan. I forgive. Silly, in what you and I might think, that's just a silly little thing, you know, but it can dig away at us, can't it? It can dig away in our heart and in our spirit. And so when you think that there's no way to forgive, there is a way. You choose, you make a decision. Plant it as a seed. Seeds are wonderful things, aren't they? They bring life, they bring fruit. So we make a choice to sow a seed of forgiveness. And God is always faithful that when we sow seeds, to bring the harvest of a blessing one way or another. Just as we get ready to, I want you to play that thing, whatever it's called, a DVD. Just the first one, I think, right now. This is called Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. And you might think it doesn't, how does it relate? What's the segue here? To me, it's a segue because oftentimes our hearts are really hurt by unforgiveness. And I really am serious about those CDs or that book called Switch On Your Brain. It is so, so good. All scripture, all the way through it. And I believe it will change our lives. If we can stop saying, well, that's just the way I made it. It's just how I think. You don't need to think that way anymore. We can speak life into our own bodies and into our own minds. Amen. So just listen to what this guy has to say.
When I first heard Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, it had such an amazing impact on my heart. You know, not only in its lyrical content, but then when I heard the story behind it, it really changed the way I looked at this song. There was a pastor in Ohio who had a heart surgeon that went to his church. But one of the things that this pastor wanted to do was he wanted to see a heart surgery take place. And when the day of the surgery came, they rolled the patient in and they began to cut her chest cavity open. They took her heart out and they began to repair it. One of the things they do is they have to restart the heart again before they close the chest cavity. And as they began to do the procedures to start the heart wouldn't start. Finally, the doctor did something so out of textbook and not written down. It's just something that you really don't do. And he got down on his knees. He said, Mrs. Johnson, this is your doctor. He said, we have fixed your heart. We have repaired it. There's nothing wrong with your heart. Miss Johnson, if you can hear me, I need you to tell your heart to beat again. And her heart began to beat. And why do I share this story with you? Because the great physician has fixed your heart and my heart. But I find it interesting that sometimes we allow the voice of the enemy to whisper louder than the voice of our Father. And it seems like some of these voices tell us that, you know what, that situation we'll never recover from. Or what that person did, we can never forgive again. But I'm here to let you know that you can forgive again. You can get back up again. You can move forward with your life. And you don't have to walk with a limp. It's simply like this doctor said to this lady. This lady had to come into agreement. The heart was repaired. God has fixed your problem. Your heart is fixed. But you have to come in agreement with God. You know, I look at my story and I look at how I went through loss and how I had to get myself back up. When I look at the pain of my past, it doesn't sting like it used to. But I look back and I see, look what the Lord has done. And I know God wants to do the same for you. I want you to begin to hope again. He wants you to believe again. He wants you to trust again. The great physician, our Father, through Jesus, wants you to tell your heart to beat again.
On the floor, and words fall short in times like these. When this world drives you to your knees, you think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. So tell your heart to beat again, and close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been and tell your heart to beat again. Beginning, just let that word wash over you. It's alright now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, fear the sun. Because your story's far from over and your journey's just begun. So tell your heart to beat again and close your eyes and breathe. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been and tell your heart to beat again. Let every heart break and every scar be a picture that reminds you who has carried you this far. Love sees farther than you ever could. In this moment, heaven's working everything for your good. So tell your heart to beat again and close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been and tell your heart to beat again. Your heart to beat
Father, we just bow before you now and say thank you, Lord, for your incredible forgiveness to us, Lord. And we decide today to forgive. We decide, Lord, we obey what you've told us to do, Father. Lord, we're not waiting for an emotional response, God. Father, I pray for people here today listening to my voice that have undergone tremendous pain and wounds and hurts. And Lord, through a process or in an instant, you can heal that. And so, Father, we say, like the song says, we tell our heart to beat again. All the things that people have said over us that have hurt us, they're like little, just little barbs that have grabbed hold of places of our heart, and we become hurt and wounded. And so, Father, we tell our heart to beat again. We say that there is hope, that there it's not a hopeless circumstance or situation. Father, thank you that the crossroads that we are all come to at one time in our life, and yet we make a choice. You set before us life and death, and we choose to live. We choose to live. We choose to live. We make a choice. Where we need to set boundaries, then you teach us, you show us what the boundaries look like. Where we need to go to people, then you tell us. You show us, Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to you because you're a good, good Father. We put down our pride. Father, we pray for those in our life that we see hurts and pain, and we just want them to forgive. So God, we just release that. We release that. We speak restoration and whatever our part is. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now let me tell you my blessing. I had such an awesome blessing. I go to this hairdresser. Are we off? We can be off. Not my mic, just taping.